Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Baby, you know what has been really cute lately?
What?
Well, lately when you're getting ready for the day, somebody has to watch Teeny, and I watch her. But then she's looking for you, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'll take her up to see Saz, even though Saz can't hold her right now. But it's so weird because when I bring her in the bathroom, she likes watching you do your hair and your makeup.
Get ready for the day.
Yeah. And I'm like, hey, daddy's right here. What's up, girl?
And something that I know that I did growing up as a kid was I was always with my mom when she was getting ready in the bathroom. And there was something beautiful about seeing my mom sort of put herself together and get it together, you know, putting on a little bit of blush, a little bit of mascara. And that was one of my goals for myself after I had Teeny, was I didn't want to just let myself go. And I love makeup. I love beauty. So I love that Teeny and I can share that together. I don't know what it is, but lately, shopping has been extra therapeutic for me, and we're going to get into why in a little bit. But
me too.
One of those stores for me, you guys, honestly, that I love going to are places like Ulta, because here I can enjoy and pick out some of my favorite makeup products for my routine. But there's something about actually being in the store and getting to experience this sort of touching and feeling and trying on the products that makes me feel just like a powerful, confident woman, as silly as that may sound.
Plus,
does that
it's
sound
fall,
silly?
You guys. I mean, I feel like it's time to shop. We all need a little retail therapy. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely needed a little bit of retail therapy. And that's why Ulta was the place to go. Ulta is a place where you can discover a world of beautiful possibilities with over 20,000 of the best products across makeup, fragrance, hair care, and skincare. So if you need to get out of the house and you just want to like have some me time, you can choose from over 500 of your favorite brands from Tarte, Morphe, Living Proof, and so many more. Whether you're ready to run the town, rock your look, or tell your story, Ulta Beauty is here to help you show it to the world, girlfriend. Because Ulta Beauty knows you're not here to get beautiful. You're here because you already are. And I love that so much. Visit Ulta.com to learn more and to find a store near you. Again, that's Ulta, U-L-T-A.com. Ulta Beauty, the possibilities are beautiful. Isaiah 41:10 says, quote, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and yes, I will help you, uphold you with my righteous right hand." Wow. Today's episode, you guys, is going to dive deep into the topic that we've all struggled with, and that's fear. So we really wanted to start out the show today with that verse and that song by Phil Wickham, one of my favorites. We've been listening to it on repeat this week. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Good Life with Stevie and Cezanne.
Crackin' Sassy Cakes! We're back in the studio, everybody. Hope you're having a
fantabulous day. Not to downplay how awesome that verse is. I'm just getting excited for today, you guys. We're coming into fall right now. This is our favorite season, Saz. I'm actually sipping on a hot chai tea latte right now.
Yes, you are. Mm. And, you know, today's episode being all about fear, honey, I'm a little scared right now about your energy level and where you're taking me this episode because you've had too many coffee cups today.
Let me tell you, baby, don't be afraid of me, girl. Don't be scared of this energy because that's what we need on The Good Life. If you're driving in your car right now and you're feeling that ho-hum, it's Wednesday. Well, if you're listening to the episode when it came out, it is Wednesday hump day. Getting over the hump, you guys, having energy. We're talking about overcoming fear, how to deal with fear today. And it honestly starts with a very, very real story that we haven't shared with anyone publicly. And Saz, I want you to
take that away. I'll just start out by saying, you guys, how amazing it is to have a show like this where I really do feel so comfortable. I haven't shared this story that I'm about to share with you guys anywhere else other than here on our podcast. And when I thought about, like, where do I want to share it and why do I want to share this, I felt it in my heart that I needed to, because it was on this show last week that sort of triggered and sparked this entire experience that I've been having. So I'll just jump into it and saying that, you know, last week we had an amazing guest, you know, on our show. And then that also led into us having the opportunity to interview and read some of those emails that we did that we get from our Good Life Fam listeners. And one of those good fight stories came from a girl named Kelsey. And we actually recorded it last week after our show wrapped, and it's going to air in today's show. And what's incredible about this story is that Kelsey is somebody who discovered her own lump that she found in her breast at the age of 30. And I won't dive into too many details because she's going to come on to the show and kind of share her story. But I will say I felt inspired after we recorded that episode to go home that day and to give myself a breast exam, something that I've never done, nor have I ever felt the need to do one, I guess. But since having a baby, so much has changed in my body, from hormones to my breasts. I mean, let's just be real. And so when I was in the shower, I started feeling around my breasts, and specifically on one breast, I did feel a lump. And I just thought, wait. Oh my gosh. I immediately ran downstairs in classic Cezanne fashion and had Stevie feel me up. and I mean, when I came downstairs, babe, I'm sure I looked like I saw a ghost.
Yeah, you were definitely shook, as they say. But Saz came downstairs. She was like, babe, I found a lump. Like, I don't know what this is. Like, I don't understand. Why is there a lump? I'm freaking out right now. My natural reaction usually is to kind of, keep it cool. I don't freak out immediately. I always hope for the best, you know, and see the best in any situation. And so for me, it was like, well, okay, are you sure? Okay, now that we see the lump, well, how do you know? You know, like, and honestly, it's also, you know, I believe my job when you're going through something scary to also be, you know, solid for you. If I start wavering and becoming afraid and panicking as well, that's just going to, you know, perpetuate fear.
And I tried not to allow myself to get to the place of panic because I realized, okay, I just discovered a bump. It could be anything, you know. And so I called my doctor, but they had already left for the day. It was Friday. So I immediately thought, okay, so I've got to go the entire weekend now with this on my mind until I can call first thing Monday morning. And so the entire weekend, you guys, I was really being tested. I felt so tested. Not just in the faith category, but just on every level. I felt like my patience was being tested. My marriage was being tested. Everything was being tested. And I was honestly scared to death because I thought, oh my gosh, we just had this young woman that we interviewed. And what if it's a sign? I started playing the what if game. And Monday came around. I called my doctor first thing, and they said that the earliest they could get me in was Tuesday. So there I was again, waiting. I had to wait another 24 hours. And I remember just the fear started building up in me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? And I just kept feeling it. And then I really started to notice it was there. And I was like, is it getting bigger? I just started really trying to like freaking myself out. So I think that next morning when I went into the doctor, I kind of went in and I took a moment as I was walking up to my gynecologist who also delivered my baby, going back into that office where the last time I was there was after I had a child. I remember walking up those steps and thinking like, oh my gosh, last year this time I was coming in for like my 30-week appointment and here I am now getting checked for potentially having breast cancer. Like, what in the world? Like, all these emotions were running through me. So I just stopped myself and I just started praying before I walked into the office, just asking God that whatever happens in today's visit, that he would just comfort me and give me the supernatural strength, because I was honestly terrified and I wasn't going to try to avoid that. So I go into the doctor and she had me lay down in a gown and she started feeling around my breast. And as she was feeling it, you know, she stopped where she noticed the same lump that I did and she kind of felt around it and she said, well, it's really good that it's mobile and that it's smooth. I wouldn't worry, but I do want to send you in for an ultrasound. So I ended up leaving the office with not very many answers other than, well, it's good that it's mobile and that, you know, I don't think it's anything to worry about, but I'm not sure. We got it. You have to have an ultrasound. So guess what? I had to wait another 24 hours. So Wednesday came around. That was Tuesday. And I had my ultrasound appointment at 1 p.m. And Stevie, you remember that morning when we, after I had my appointment with my doctor, I just couldn't even go back home and just like go on for the rest of my day because I was so distracted. I was
you were waiting and waiting to get to there for her to tell you, okay, you're good, you can go home, everything's fine. And then she said, yeah, I think you're fine, but we just need to double check. And so it was just like another, oh my God, like I have to wait. Like, so what does that mean? You know, you started,
up my fear tank.
I could see that. Yeah. You were starting to become fearful and be full of doubt. And, you know, I was also just praying over you continually through those days, you know, because I know Cezanne, a lot of you probably don't know, had kind of a history before I met you. And even when we first started dating of kind of being a hypochondriac. And I remember when we first started dating, especially before you, you know, became a Christian and had a relationship with God and Jesus, that you were so full of fear all the time. Yeah. Something small would happen to you. And I think it was probably largely due, you know, in part to what happened to your brother when your brother was so young. And it's so shocking for something terrible to happen to such a young, innocent, sweet boy. And then I think you started thinking, well, anything can happen at any time. And you started becoming very afraid whenever something small would happen. And I remember you telling me, you go,
right.
I'm kind of a hypochondriac. Whenever something small happens, I overreact. I'm that girl that gets on WebMD, which, guys, honestly, you should never do. It always tells you kind of
the worst case scenario.
And then you're like, oh, my God, like, I have a disease. And it's like, calm down. Like, don't let yourself be filled with fear. Like, take a breath.
Well, I was not only a hypochondriac after my brother was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 8, but I was also becoming a cyberchondriac. And I noticed that that's an actual term. And I actually.
What is a cyberchondriac?
So you basically go online, and once you discover something on yourself, you start Googling to figure out symptoms and to basically give yourself some kind of like reassurance that like, okay, I'm good. And I found myself doing that when I wasn't, when I was playing the waiting game, I was like, well, I got to go to the internet. The internet sometimes is my best source, right? So that's what I did naturally. And I just freaked myself out. And I knew that like that morning after I went to my doctor's appointment, I didn't want to go on for the rest of my day. I felt like I just want to distract myself from feeling this anxiety. So you and I went out to breakfast and I remember during breakfast, we were talking and we had a really good conversation. I feel like one that we haven't had in a while because we've been so busy with life and work. And that conversation was pretty much just about how Stevie and I, we really want to be more in a routine. And we do want to take more time to do spontaneous things. Like if we have the luxury to go out to breakfast, we should do it because it inspires us and allows us to experience real life, have real conversation, and then we can bring it even on our show as inspiration. So after we had that breakfast, babe, I felt kind of like okay, like the anxiety kind of exited my body. It was this crazy thing. Anyways, I was supposed to go to the AMAs this day, you guys.
The American Music Awards.
I was supposed to go, and I was literally like so high strung off of these, like this visit with my doctor, because she did not give me the answers I wanted to hear. So I was like, I can't go to the AMAs tonight. Like, I ended up canceling that. And I noticed the entire day what I did instead was I spent time with my family. Like, I wasn't on Instagram. I just spent time with Teenie and Stevie. When after we went to breakfast, I remember we went furniture shopping. We did some fall cozy shopping because, you know, I love fall. And that really, it was almost like I needed that.
That day for
And I would have never done that if I didn't have this distraction. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I wouldn't have taken the time to take off and not work on work tasks as well. And that day was so healing for us, so needed. And it was almost kind of like this distraction came about. But it really ended up being a blessing for us because you and I just – I remember last time we just went out to breakfast on a work day and took a second off. Like, it's like, oh, let's have a day off today. You know what? Let's push back on some of these assignments and say, you know what? We're going to take time for ourselves because we need to feed our souls right now because we were running on empty. You were running on empty. I was. And we both were together. And I feel like after just that breakfast, we took a short little walk.
It was so nice.
It brought us together. And I remember driving home. I could tell that you still had you know, you still had doubts and some fear.
Yeah.
But it was almost like as we were praying, as we were listening to some worship music, the song that you guys heard earlier, you know, I started seeing Cezanne really start to, again, remind herself that God is with me. Mm-hmm. You know, he's on my side no matter what. I can trust him. And I remember praying that over you.
It's moments in life when your back's against the wall and you have no control over a situation that really fills you up with fear, whether it's, you know, fear of the unknown, fear of loss, fear of the boogeyman. Just kidding. But, you know, that's why today we really wanted to dive deep into this topic of fear and kind of tell you guys what helped me get through these past few days. If you're wondering kind of where we're at with this whole breast cancer scare, I had my ultrasound and thank God it turned out well, you know. I still have to get a biopsy to confirm 100% what they think it is, which is fibroadenoma, which is a benign tumor, non-cancerous. But I have to go through this biopsy, which is now – that's a whole nother – in a way, it's a blessing that like, okay, they are pretty certain they don't think it's cancer. But again, she goes, I can't confirm through an ultrasound unless we do a biopsy. So here we go again. So now I'm having to schedule that. I know once I get the biopsy, I'm going to need to take it easy for a little bit. But from what she said, it's very common that young women get this. But again, it's kind of like the waiting game. And now I have my own worries about like the biopsy and how it's going to go. Is it going to hurt? And different things like that. And I'm just really trying to focus on God and combating my fear. And so when we did this, when we were talking about what show we wanted to do today, what topic we wanted to dive into, Stevie has also experienced his own level of fear at certain seasons of life, as we all do. And we came up with some really great bullet points of things that have helped us get through those moments in life. Like I said, when your back's against the wall and you're like, oh my gosh, I am so scared and I do not know what to do. So we're going to share those tips later on in the show, and we're also going to share that incredible interview that I had with our Good Life Fam listener, Kelsey, and it's just amazing because thanks to this show and to Kelsey, that's what inspired me to give myself a self-breast exam at home.
Now, before we hear from Kelsey, she's an amazing, strong woman who is facing fear head on every single day. And she's going to help you if you're facing fear because she is in the thick of it. Before we do that, Cezanne and I are jumping into a healthier routine, like we mentioned, to feed ourselves, to give back to our souls, you know, to live a healthier lifestyle. And one thing that we're doing right now that's actually helping a lot is we're cooking sun basket meals, you guys. And let me tell you why this works in with our routine and why it's healthier. Well, because number one, we're saving money by eating at home. Saz and I spend way too much money eating out all the time, and I'm always telling her we need to eat at home.
You're always the one that says that for
well,
sure.
But it feels like we're constantly running out of options. I mean, like I'm constantly on Grubhub or Yelp trying to find a dinner spot, and honestly, that always takes about 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And in that amount of time, you guys, you can cook up a healthy, delicious sun basket meal. So really, we're saving time. We're saving a lot of money by not going out or paying those expensive fees to have food delivered to our house like that. So I love that Sun Basket brings paleo, gluten-free meals straight to your door because it's feeding us our time and it's delicious.
And you know what's great about their meal kits is they always make it kind of easy and convenient for you and your busy lifestyle. These meals are delicious. You can make them at home. They walk you through the steps and the process. And no matter how much experience you have in the kitchen, they make it easy, which is exactly what I feel like we need.
Saz and I's go-to right now is the Thai turkey lettuce cups. We're big fans of eating like tacos and stuff like that.
And so we've been doing grain-free, which has been great.
Which has been huge. And so anything we can wrap up into a delicious little lettuce cup, we are down for that, you guys. So if you haven't tried Sunbasket yet, I highly suggest that you do.
It's you should, because guess what? We got a code!
We got a code for you guys. It's simple, it's easy, it's delicious. They have 18 weekly recipes, you guys. So if you want to go check it out, go to sunbasket.com/Cezanne today. I'm telling you, this routine thing is really changing the game for Cezanne and I, and we're going deeper with this thing. So if you want to get on a better, healthier routine, go to sunbasket.com/Cezanne to get $35 off your order today.
Yep,
can you
that,
snap with
that
me?
That keyword is my name, you guys, Cezanne, S-A-Z-A-N. All you got to do is do the /Cezanne at sunbasket.com to learn how you're going to get $35 off your first order. Enjoy.
All right, let's talk to Kelsey.
Exactly a year ago, I was diagnosed with stage 2B invasive ductal carcinoma and DCIS. I found my own lump a couple weeks after I turned 30. I have no history of breast cancer in my family, and to the outside world, I lived a very healthy life. I breastfed 4 babies. I ate as healthy as I could with pizza and french fries thrown in because balance. But still, with no explanation or warning, I was diagnosed with cancer. The last year, I've been in active treatment, doing 6 rounds of TCHP chemotherapy. I underwent a bilateral mastectomy, axillary node dissection, 25 rounds of radiation, 18 rounds of immunotherapy, targeted chemotherapy known as Herceptin, exchange surgery with reconstruction. I'm continuing hormone therapy, and I will start an at-home chemo regimen that I will be on for 1 year. It's a lot. It still is a lot to go through every single day, but I have 4 kids to take care of, and so all of this seems like nothing as long as I get more years on this earth. I wholeheartedly believe that not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some come to clear your path. Breast cancer changed me in ways that I will forever be grateful for. I've lived a happy, amazing life before my diagnosis, but I was settling, and I was taking things for granted. Just the little things around me. I made excuses to not chase after my own dreams because it was hard or it was stressful or my husband's military career was taking precedence. I put my health last. Cancer has taught me that self-love is a process, that mental positivity can get you through whatever you physically feel like you cannot. It has taught me the importance of using my vulnerability as a strength and to share my story with others who may feel just as alone as I did when I was first diagnosed. As women and mothers, we feel like putting everyone else's needs before our own somehow means we're showing our strength. But if we're not taking care of ourselves, then how can we take care of others? This includes self-breast exams. No one is too young for breast cancer. 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed in their lifetime. This is shocking, and it will affect so many families. My children lost a piece of their innocence watching me lose my hair and try to muster up the energy to drive them to school every day. But they gained so much more. They gained empathy, they gained strength, and they gained courage. The courage to look their problems in the face and overcome. I started my own podcast to share my story and my mindset. I also started my own fashion, styling, and creative consulting business here in Savannah. I'm working on building my own dreams and drawing strength from other women who have gone through this and hopefully providing hope to the young fighters who find themselves in my position.
Woo! Wow. You're amazing. I'm saying that first, Stevie. We're like racing to the finish line to both say that. Thank you so much for sending us that email. Can I just tell you that when I opened that email and read that story, I thought 2 things. The first thing I thought was, oh my gosh, how incredibly strong, brave, inspiring is this mama right here who has been through it all and is still going through it, by the way, And you just – I saw that and instantly it just felt the strength come through the email as I was reading it. And then the second thing is I thought, this is sort of like a stranger who's just pouring her life out here to help others and raising awareness. And I saw those two things and I thought, oh my gosh, she has to come on here, because that really is the epitome of, I feel like, a good fight. And you are in that, sister, and you are a warrior. So I just had to say that first and foremost.
Kelsey, it seems so as if from your story, you've been thrown, and a lot of people who experience the same without warning, you're thrown into what is a fight. Cancer is a fight for your life. Yeah. And your response has been to fight back, but also to fight for your life and the joy of your life. And tell us a little bit about how that has been going for you.
In the beginning, I can say that when you are diagnosed with cancer, you come at it at such an emotional standpoint. You don't necessarily think about the treatments or medically how you're going to get through this. It's so emotional.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, I was really negative. My first couple rounds of chemotherapy, losing my hair and just losing a sense of myself and not being able to be an active mom in my children's life, I really started to go to a dark place. And it was filled with negativity, and I just kept thinking, why me or poor me? And that's not the mindset you need to be in when you're trying to fight for your life and go through all these physical changes. And I think by chemotherapy round three is when I really changed, and I just snapped out of it and thought, that's not how you have to live. You have to find the joy in every single day, and that happiness is a choice. It's a choice. You wake up in the morning, you spout out however many things you're grateful for, and you make the choice to be happy regardless of your situation. And getting into that mindset made each and every day so much easier after that.
So how old were you when you were going at that time when you had that realization? And what really spurred that for you? Was it all of a sudden you had that realization?
So I was 30 when I was diagnosed, and so that was just last year. The thing that really changed me was I had negative people around me in my life. And it's not that they were trying to be negative. They just weren't understanding the gravity of my situation. And they weren't understanding how the little things that you say to people, regardless if you're trying to be not rude, but if you're trying to be judgmental or you're trying to push your own opinions on them, they can be misconstrued as negative. And so I kind of had people in my life who thought that I should act a certain way when going through cancer, or that I should do certain treatments, or that, you know, friends of friends, this is how their family dealt with cancer. And all of those things just started to stress me out, and they started to weigh on me so heavily that I was just like, I have to get rid of the negative in my life. And I did. I started getting rid of people that I felt I was just stringing along in my life because they had been there so long, but they weren't serving a good purpose. And that's not to sound selfish. It just means that in that situation, self-preservation was what I needed. And so I just kind of started to alleviate areas of my life that were weighing me down and adding more stress to a stressful situation. And I was trying to find interactions that were positive. So whether that was other cancer fighters or survivors who had a positive outlook on their diagnosis, I was surrounding myself with them. I started to, you know, surround myself with people that had big dreams and big goals, and I could tell them my dreams and goals, and they didn't look at me like, oh, that sounds crazy. You're going through cancer. How can you even be thinking about doing anything else? And once you start to just like open up the floodgates of positivity, you start to get positivity back. And as like kooky as that can sound, it's true. And I started to feel that. And once I did, I was just kind of like, I can't go back to the old mindset of I can't do this because of cancer, or I can't do this because I have four kids. I got to a much more like positive place.
Kelsey, when you talk about your kids, you talk about the loss piece of their innocence, but you said they gained empathy, they gained strength, and they gained courage, the courage to look their problems in the face and overcome. And they've gained that, you know, through watching you. But you've made a daily decision. You know, it's not this, okay, I have cancer, now I've overcome. You know, it's a daily decision for you to overcome your circumstance that you're currently walking in right now. How do you do that? And how could you encourage somebody else who's walking through a difficult circumstance, whether it's they're struggling to pay their bills or, you know, or they've lost a loved one? How do you encourage them to say, you too can look at this hard circumstance and find joy and find life here?
I would say that the hard stuff only lasts for so long. It's hard to get through it, but if you can just stay positive, and every single day, it's not about, you know, tackling everything all at once. If you can just tackle small things every day, then the end goal will come. It's not necessarily that, even if it's, I mean, medical bills are a huge part of cancer, and they can weigh you down. And I know in the beginning, my husband and I, we got overwhelmed, and we thought, you know, this is going to bankrupt our family at some point if we try and tackle this all at once. So you know what? We said, no, we're going to tackle it in small increments, and eventually we're going to get there. And that alleviates so much stress. The same thing with going through cancer or going through a hard time. The hard times only last for so long. So if you can just, like,
that's so encouraging. Yeah.
Stay positive and take it one day at a time, you will absolutely get through it. And I can tell you that if it's a physical thing that you're getting through, your mental state plays a much bigger role than what you're physically going through. So you can stay in a positive mindset, then physically you'll be able to get through it.
Now, you said in the email something that really blew my mind, and I know we hear about it a lot in the media, but to read it, you said 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with, you know, breast cancer in their lifetime. I mean, that's crazy. And you talked about this importance of self-love and being okay with putting yourself on that priority list, because how can you take care of others if you're not taking care of yourself? And you said this includes self-breast exams. You said you just turned 30 when you found out. Some people out there think that, well, I don't need to get tested because I'm not my mom's age yet. I mean, more and more people are getting diagnosed at early ages. What is your word of advice for women out there to go out there and get those breast exams?
Breast exam is something that you can do at home. I found my own lump. I know many of women who have found their own lump. And breast cancer in young women is very aggressive. So even if you go to your doctor and they say, oh, you have a cyst, you know what? Ask for imaging on that cyst. Another thing is that people of all ages think that breast cancer is predominantly genetic. It is not. 80% of breast cancer has no family history.
Wow.
So it's not necessarily that your mother or your grandmother or your aunt had breast cancer. If you find anything in your breast, or it's not even your breast, check all the way up into your armpits. It also doesn't have to be a lump. If you have a rash on your breast that has not gone away, inflammatory breast cancer shows up much differently than other forms of breast cancer. So I would definitely say that it's checking, it's knowing your body and advocating for yourself. You have to be, if you're young and you have it, if you're not of age to get a mammogram, but you know that something's wrong, then you have to advocate for yourself. Keep pushing. And if you don't have a doctor that's willing to listen to you, find another doctor.
Yes.
I know I say that as like easily, but I had to do it for myself, and it was not easy. I had doctors in the beginning that they were not taking this like as a sense of urgency. My life, it didn't seem like it was of value to them, and I had to cut ties with all doctors who had started me on this breast cancer journey and find my own team of doctors.
Wow, that's amazing. And you know what? I love that you took matters into your own hands, because you know your body better than anyone else. And there's no doctor, nobody who can tell you when something's wrong. You just know. I feel like God really blesses us with that instinct to know. And that's what you just said was so encouraging. I may or may not have been feeling my underneath my armpits and my boobs while you were talking. I already felt inspired. I'm like, Stevie's looking at me like, what in the world? But what you said, that's really great advice. Thank you. That's amazing.
Kelsey, I really quickly, I know that you've just rebounded and you've started your podcast and you started your own style website. Is that correct?
Consulting.
Yeah.
Consulting. And so it says here at the end, you said, I am working on building my own dreams. And in the midst of what seems like your darkest time in your life, you're working on building your own dreams, which is just such a contrast, such a hopeful thought, and such a beautiful thing to share. So what we usually ask our listeners – or I'm sorry, not our listeners. We ask our guests at the end of every episode, what is good in your life right now?
I would have to say what's good in my life right now is me.
Aww.
A year ago, I would not have said that. I would have absolutely said – it's my kids. And my kids are amazing. They're all healthy and wonderful. But I never valued myself. I'd always put myself as just a mom. Mm. And I always thought that my dreams would come later. But I can say that what's good right now in my life is finally me.
Oh, that's
amazing. Incredible.
What's the name of your podcast, real quick?
It's called But You Don't Look Sick.
Oh, I love it.
That's amazing.
You've got some new fans.
Kelsey,
we'll be tuning in. Seriously.
You are an example of just strength and perseverance and light. And we are so thankful that you sent your email and your story in to the Good Life email. We're so appreciative to have you on. And thank you for being vulnerable enough and strong enough and brave enough to share your story here with us today.
Thank you so much,
Absolutely.
Kelsey.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Babe, I was having this conversation with one of my girlfriends the other day, and there's something about a new season that makes you kind of want to change some things in your lifestyle, specifically in the fragrance department. I don't know, but in the fall season, I like to go more warm and cozy, which brings this whole new set of challenges of like, okay, where do I start when there's tons of millions of fragrances out there? I end up going to a department store, sampling a bunch, and then you start to get a headache. And then when you finally find one that you think is the one, you figure out what's inside, like the ingredients, and it ain't so wonderful.
Ain't nobody got time to be running around all them stores.
And that's why I'm here to tell you guys about a company that's bringing that feeling back into fragrance, and that's Fleur. That's Fleur, spelt P-H-L-U-R. And what they're doing is Fleur is creating expertly crafted, sustainably produced perfumes without the bad stuff. And it's sold at an honest price. It's a revolutionary way of discovering and experiencing fragrance. If you guys go to Fleur.com right now, guess what? We've got a promo code for you. You want to tell them the promo code, baby?
That's right. The promo code is Sazan, S-A-Z-A-N, to get 20% off your custom Fleur sample set. If you won't take it from me, take it from my Aussie friend, you guys. You get to pick 3 cents to try and get credit towards a full-size bottle of your favorite. That's how you get to try it out. It's easy.
Yep. Fleur's going to send you 3 2-milliliter bottles your way. That's a month worth of fragrance. And FYI, shipping as always is free. And you've got 30 days to apply that $18 towards the price of a full 50 milliliter bottle. So going back to what I was saying about when you're storming through the department store and you're like, where do I start? Well, Fleur's scent selection process is accessible and it's actually easy to navigate. You can get to know each of Fleur's scents with pictures, words, and music on their site. If you like what you hear and see, odds are you're probably going to like the scent. How cool is that? Each Fleur scent is created by world-class perfumers and inspired by real moments for your real life. One of my favorite scents I've been rocking is the Sindara scent. Highly suggest you guys check it out. And guess what? This scent is gender-free. All of their scents are. And the best part, Fleur is completely transparent. They tell you every ingredient in their perfumes and why it's there. So when your husband's sniffing, giving you a little smooch, he's getting the good stuff.
That's right. And if your husband doesn't want to sniff you, he can sniff a kangaroo. Or he can be a smart man and go to Fleur.com today. And you can use the promo code Sazan, that's S-A-Z-A-N, to get 20% off your custom Fleur sample set, you guys. They make this very easy for you guys to try. You get to try 3 cents instead of running around. Just do this online today. That's promo code Sazan at Fleur.com.
We want you to enjoy the scent of your choice and smell good this season. Enjoy. Again, it's PHLUR.com. Use the code Sazan.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze. And it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Are you having one of those days where maybe you need to enjoy a LaCroix sparkling water? Well, it's a calorie, sweetener, and sodium innocent beverage with nothing artificial. So why not just crack open a bottle? Make the switch to LaCroix Sparkling Water, a healthier alternative for you and your lifestyle. With zero calories, zero sweeteners, zero sodium, you can do no wrong. There are 14 LaCroix flavors, from key lime, tangerine, mango, to apricot, passion fruit, peach pear, and my personal favorite, coconut. The LaCroix family also includes 6 LaCroix Curité flavors like Piña Frisé Pineapple Strawberry, Palm Bia Apple Berry, and Kiwi Sandia Kiwi Watermelon, to name a few. LaCroix Curité has a bolder flavor. LaCroix Sparkling Water and LaCroix Curité Sparkling Water is gluten-free, vegan, and non-GMO, and are both available nationwide. For more information, join the LaCroix community on social at LaCroix Water, or check them out at www.lacroixwater.com.
Well, guys, you heard from Kelsey Bucci herself. She is an incredible woman fighting cancer right now, so full of strength, so full of life, and she's the perfect interview for us to have today because she's facing fear every day, but she's responding by living her life to the fullest. So if you want to check out her podcast, it's called But You Don't Look Sick. I highly recommend that if you're somebody who's struggling with fear, you're struggling with obstacles. I mean, she's living it out daily, so you can walk with her through that adventure. But most of us, you know, are not actually facing cancer, but sometimes there's another form of cancer in our life. I want to ask you guys today, is there a fear of rejection holding you back from your potential? What fear is causing you to feel crippling anxiety? What fear is distracting you to the point of completely robbing you of your joy? These are just a few daily examples, guys, of how we face fear. And like we said earlier, Cezanne faced major fear. What's so crazy is that you were saying, oh, I'm going to go check my breasts after this. And you did the next day. And immediately you were uncertain if your world was going to be rocked and changed.
Yeah. I'm kind of speechless hearing that back because, you know, she really inspired me to check myself. You know, she said, you're never too young to give yourself that self-examination. And it, you know, it just reminded me that even as somebody who, you know, has God at the center of my life every day, I'm not perfect. I'm human. And this past week just made me realize some things about myself that I really want to work on. And it also took me back to who I was before I became a believer. And I'll just say that, you know, I never had the answer to fear. But and I always feel like for me growing up, fear was always in the picture somewhere. Fear always tried to grip my life. I remember I couldn't walk into the bathroom, as silly as it sounds, without looking in the bathtub. Or when I walk into my bedroom, checking underneath my bed or opening up my closet at the end of a long day because I was like, what if somebody's hiding in there? And I did these little things like that. And it sounds silly, but as a kid, I was always afraid. I was afraid to jump in a pool. You know, I was afraid to learn how to swim. I was afraid. I was always just worried. And I feel like there was this spirit of fear always over me and in my life. And the hypochondria that I mentioned and all of that, and, you know, plays a part after my brother got sick. But I think God's role in all of this and in this past week has just reminded me that, like, God has really rescued me, you guys, from that fear. And me, even, what, 7, 8 years ago, you know, if this specific situation happened, this cancer scare in my life, I don't know how I would have handled it without God in the picture. And it's been hard this past week and this weekend, and I've been terrified at times, but I completely go to the source, and for me, that's God. And I can just tell you this because, you know, even as a believer, fear still creeps up into my life. So don't get it twisted. It's not that once you have Jesus in your life, you know, everything's peachy and perfect, but fear still tries to creep up in my life. But it's like, I know how to deal with it now. Yeah. I know exactly what to do in moments when that happens and how to kind of slap fear in the face.
And there's a choice that you can make. I think it's the same thing with anxiety. We were at the airport, and I don't know what's happened in the last few years, but as every time we go to the airport, because you travel for business and I have to remember every single thing, and you can't forget something or else you're totally screwed, I feel this anxiety when I go to the airport. Mm-hmm. And I know I have everything. I've triple checked. And the last time we were at the airport, this seems like a silly example, but I just felt this anxiety. It's just rising up. And it was this like tightening of my chest and not breathing properly. And I for the first time just stopped in the last couple of years, and I said, no, I'm not going to feel anxiety for no reason. I have a choice right now to feel this anxiety and to just go with it or to stop. It's the same thing with fear. When you feel fear rising up and say, you know what? I'm not going to fear the worst. I'm not going to have anxiety that things are going to go wrong.
And when you think about what triggered that crippling fear in you, babe, it was years ago you had a very terrifying plane ride experience. Like, mm-hmm. you were flying through like a hurricane or something. It was a tornado. I mean, it was a very scary situation for you. So I think that's what kind of boiled it up. And for me, it was my brother's cancer that makes me fear cancer, the word, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, in short, basically, I was on a really, really scary flight. And a lot of times when you hear people are scared of flights, they were always scared of flights, or they had a moment where they were on a really scary flight and that kind of rocked
them. Something triggered it, yeah.
And that's what happened with me. I was always good on flights. I would sleep the whole time, didn't have a second thought about anything going wrong until that one day. And it was a very scary flight, very rocky. And after that, there was an opening for the devil to come in and create fear within me. Every time I flew, I was petrified. Mm-hmm. And I'm not that guy. I didn't grow up like that. I'm not that kind of guy. But I found myself being in this crazy situation where I'm literally praying. And I'm reminding myself that, like, no, this is not going to happen.
You had to work on it constantly. It wasn't like the next time you were in a plane ride, everything was well because you prayed about it. It was a constant test that you had to just face and get through it and find away in the moment when you felt that fear, how to deal with it.
And I'll tell you guys one thing that really helped me. Well, number one, I just continued to fly. Even though I was scared and we would take these long flights overseas, I was like, I'm not gonna let this beat me. I'm gonna beat this because this is not real. This is fear. This is noise. This is distraction. Mm-hmm. And so actually what I ended up doing was one of my good friends came to town and we had skydived when I was 18. And he came to town, and I said, you know what, dude? Let's skydive. And he was like, yeah. And I said, and I want to do the highest one. I want to do 18,000 feet where you have to wear a mask after 14,000 feet.
An oxygen mask, might I add.
And you know what, you guys?
In the midst
of being scared on planes, just worried about, oh, the turbulence, I jumped out of 18,000 feet. And that's not to say like, oh, look at me. But that's to say that I looked my fear in the face, and I was like, I'm not going to let you beat me.
And it was since that, I feel I've noticed like – you've gotten so much better with flying,
yeah.
And I think for you, you needed to push yourself. It's like somebody who's scared of roller coasters. Sometimes you just got to get on the ride
100%.
And just do it. And
that's right.
A time where we faced fear together, I'll just say this real quickly, is, you know, when I was 12 weeks pregnant, we had a potential scare that we almost lost Teeny. And we were both having to deal with that together at that moment. And I remember driving to the hospital in the emergency room at like 10 o'clock at night, and I just kept thinking, What if I'm about to lose this child? Like I was, but it's almost like Stevie, you were really good at like, we can't go there. God is in control. This is sometimes a test on your faith and you have to let God lead the way on this and not know. And I just remember the entire time during that scary potential miscarriage situation, all I could do in that room was just literally sit with my thoughts and just completely focus on the positives and on the light and on God. I remember I just kept saying the word Jesus in my head over and over and over because I didn't know what else to say or what else to think. So I just kept saying that over, over and over again. And it was in that moment, I think after that, when I started to appreciate the rest of my pregnancy and I realized how precious life is. And tying that into this past week and what I've experienced, I felt that again. I felt like after the doctors have said to me, they pretty much think 95-99% it's not cancer. After that, I had this kind of newfound appreciation for my life and not to take that for granted. And sometimes God stops us in our tracks and has to literally shake us and scare us to open your eyes. So sometimes fear doesn't have to be a bad thing. Kind of like similar to what Kelsey was saying for her. She's found the silver lining in it all, you know?
And you can turn your fear into something else. You can turn your doubts into a victory. And what happened with us is that, yes, you were afraid and fear started rising up, but you answered it. And we're going to talk to you guys about these five ways that you can deal with fear, but you answered fear and we turned it for something good. And you and I have had a really good last few days, just very healing, you guys. It's really crazy because Suzanne was able to stop herself to check out of kind of her daily, you know, go, 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 and just be like, oh, wow, life is really great. I really appreciate my life. And even though this thing is kind of messing with my head right now, I'm going to focus on the good things. And I've seen that.
It's actually been really good for us.
And it's been really good for us. And I wanted to read this verse as you were speaking when you said you used to always be afraid and you didn't know where to turn. I want to read this verse. It's 2 Timothy 1:7, you guys.
It's so sexy when you bust out scripture.
Honestly, I know
I love it,
but,
when you do that.
It's terrible when I paraphrase because sometimes I'm like, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, I pulled it up because I want to read it exactly. This is the New King James Version, 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's so important,
that's
you guys.
So good.
Whatever you're facing, I remember I used to speak that over myself whenever I would face kind of some scary obstacle. Honestly, it started with a roller coaster. I remember one time my dad's friend said that to me. He goes, "Buddy, you gonna ride this roller coaster?" I said, "No, sir." He goes, "You know what? God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And you don't have to be scared of that thing. You can go conquer that right now."
Oh my gosh. And you saying that just reminded me, during this crazy past weekend experience, I spent some of my free time. I took Teeny to the park and I noticed she's been really scared. She's only 10 months, but anytime she sees the slide and I go near it, she's like so afraid of it. So I decided, I was like, you know what? I don't want Teeny to ever live her life in fear. So I took her up to the slide and she was kind of nervous, but in a way she wanted to do it. And I held her in my lap and we slid down together. And after that, I felt like, oh my gosh, she's not scared anymore. And that was my first time sort of as a mom helping my daughter get through fear, because I never want her to be afraid of something and be like, I'm not facing it. Which leads us to these amazing five ways to deal with fear and how to sort of combat fear when it stops you in your tracks. These five things have helped me, you guys, this past week. I can't even begin to tell you. Stevie, do you want to take away the first bullet point?
Before I take this away, I want to share something. I'm listening to this book on Audible right now called Mindset. I think it's Carol Dweck. But she says something really interesting. She says there's people of a fixed mindset and there's people of a growth mindset. And some people have a fixed mindset in certain things and growth mindset in others. And some people are fixed just all the way. Just
but what, like, is no, it, this what is. Are the two
so
mean?
So a fixed mindset basically says that this is how I am. This is how intelligent I am. This is what I'm capable of. And it's all limited.
It's very type A, it seems.
No, not necessarily. A growth mindset says that I'm learning. I'm growing. I can learn. I can get
that's
smarter.
That's me.
I can break free of whatever it is that's going
both
on.
Of us.
And there's a lot more to it, but what I've realized is that a lot of us have accepted anxiety or fear and have a mindset of, well, I'm just afraid of this.
And you start to get comfortable in it, right? You find comfort in this anxiety.
And then you hear people saying,
being emo
well,
that is what just, they call it.
Well, and people don't even want to be bothered. They say, well, that just gives me anxiety. And I understand that. But what I'm saying to you is that you have the ability to grow in that and to change that and to break out of that, you guys.
Yeah.
Honestly, it starts with the number one. We have five tips here.
Okay, now we're going back. Number one, Stevie.
Number one is face it. So fear is often easy to run in the opposite direction, you guys. We run to whatever will allow us to escape that feeling without actually dealing with the fear.
Facing your fear will allow you to acknowledge whatever fear there is, but it doesn't hold power over you. So for me, when I was flying on the planes, I knew I was going to be afraid and I was going to have this moment, but I didn't let it have power over me. And I continued to face it. And as I faced it, it got less and less and less. And sometimes to conquer the giant, you got to go out on the battlefield with him.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to keep going out until you hack him down.
So good.
That's how I want to encourage you with that.
Number two, when fear knocks, this is a big one for me this past week. When fear knocks, answer with faith. Wow. I find that to be so powerful. You know, I'm a human, like I said, and this week, even as a believer, I found myself feeling like I was that young girl again, getting lost and crippled by fear. I felt like it was a huge test of faith for me in having to make a choice. And the choice for me was to go to God and to put this burden on my shoulders in God's hands, which is what He wants us to do. And He took that burden from me, you guys, and really helped comfort me in moments throughout the days, those long days as I was waiting. That really, really helped me. So that was number two.
Number three, this is important. Cancel the noise. Avoid playing the what-if game and allowing yourself to go to a very dark place mentally. Instead, respond with positivity. Speak positive things over yourself.
Yep.
Have hope. And if you need to, you guys, write it on a post-it note if you have to, positive thoughts, because that way you put it on the mirror, you put it on a place where you're going to see it,
your
you're
going
to be reminded of something powerful and something positive and instead of something that's going to create noise and distraction and really is going to perpetuate fear. Don't allow the fear to perpetuate. Cancel the noise and control your thoughts.
And it's a good mental reminder when you have those post-it notes, I feel. And canceling the noise can also mean getting off of Instagram. That's something I had to do, and I still do on a day-to-day basis sometimes, is I'm getting off social media because it ain't helping me. So maybe that's something too. Number four, don't deal with it alone. Okay, I knew I had God, right? But I'm also someone who's the type of person who I need a friend. And I needed that this week. So I actually had a girls' night the day that I had discovered this lump. I wasn't going to cancel on the girls' night. It was for my birthday. So I went out to...
I was your friend.
So I went out for my girls' night. And that really helped comfort me because I was able to just talk to them about what I was going through. And you know what? Stevie, you also did spend the day with me.
Yay! Shout out, be the hub!
After I had that appointment and we went shopping. And really, something so small like that, that helped me so much.
That's because I love you, baby. And the last one is, you guys, which is not – these are not in specific order. The last one is to simply take time to sit down and to pray. Still yourself, you guys, because, again, I've said this before, there's a God who's real out there, who cares about you, wants to have a relationship with you. And guess what? He's on your side, you guys. He's on your side. So if there's something – maybe dark inside of you that you don't think you can say to anyone else, you can say it to Him. I guarantee you. And that's a strong part of my testimony, because in fact, that's what happened with my dad. And one day I want to have him come in here and share his testimony.
It's incredible.
He was in a very dark place, about to commit suicide. He didn't know anything about God or any religion or anything.
And you would never guess this about his dad. He's amazing. Like, you would never guess that.
And you know what, guys? He prayed. And his life changed that night. And so
Power in prayer.
I really believe in that. And honestly, when I was on the plane the whole time and I'm just being flooded, I mean, my chest is just coming undone. Like the heartbeat is like, dung, dung, dung.
That was me this week.
I just kept saying, you know, I just kept praying and saying, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, it got that intense for me, you guys. I was like that scared. So,
and I love that you have that, though. That's your shield. And God says it all in the word. God is your shield of protection. So
that's right.
To battle up, guys, I need to take my own advice, which I've started,
Isaiah.
Is quiet time, getting in the Word, taking that time to spend with God and learning about those powerful scriptures to help you in those situations when you need it.
Isaiah 41:10, you guys, from the beginning of this episode says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I mean,
that
he's bigger than
that,
everything
yep.
else, you guys. So no matter what you're facing, He's bigger than that, and I hope that you would turn to Him, you guys, and don't let fear run your life. Even if it's a small fear, you guys, right now, I'll tell you straight up, I face the fear of rejection, and I've realized that about myself recently. There's things that I haven't allowed myself to do, and it's like, I don't live in like, oh my God, no one's going to like me. But there's this deep-seated fear of rejection that I need to please people. And there's certain things about myself that I keep hidden because I'm worried that I'm going to be rejected.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, I'm really putting a cap on my light. I'm really putting a cap on my potential. And you know what? I'm working on that. I'm facing that fear, you guys, and I'm a weird dude.
We all have
fears.
I was
homeschooled, so I don't want people to think I'm crazy.
You know, whether it's a sudden scare like I've had this week or it's a constant daily fear that haunts you because you're just maybe the anxiety of trying to be successful, the anxiety of being accepted, finding is my husband out there? Is my wife out there? That anxiety. Whatever that anxiety that's coming from fear, those were the steps that we wanted to speak over you guys and encourage you. And like Stevie said, that verse from Isaiah 41:10, that is really the good word of the week. And that's why we wanted to read it twice and really put that on a post-it note. You know what I mean?
Like, post it, put it around the house. Now,
we've got a challenge for them this week, actually.
Tell them what the challenge is, Sassy Case.
So, you know, this episode really came to us last minute last night. You know, I was like, maybe I should share what I've been going through. And I knew that there was somebody out there who needed to hear this whole sort of sermon on fear. And what we want you to do is your challenge is to share today's episode with someone in your life who is struggling with fear right now.
You know, we all got fear, y'all.
And whether it's sending them the link to this episode, which you can do through our iTunes podcast page, or, you know, maybe it's sharing it on your social media page to a number of people, whatever it is, we ask that each of you listening would do this. Why? Because it's our goal here at The Good Life to reach as many hearts as we can to specifically help heal fear and anxiety. Because there is a cure and it doesn't require medication or checking into a
That's
mental
right.
hospital. This is the truth. And we speak that so profoundly over each and every single one of you. You know, I'm going into this next week, scheduling my biopsy. And again, I'm a little nervous about it. I'm a little scared, but I'm not going to let that stop me from continuing on my journey and on my path and really leaning on God more than ever.
Before we go, you guys, I want to pray for the first time. We've never done this before. I want to pray over you guys. And if you're not a Christian and believe in God, doesn't matter. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to bless you on your way out. And before I do that, you guys, if this episode meant something to you, if you got anything out of it, please share it. But also, please leave us a review. It means so much when you guys review us. Saz and I spend time reading those reviews. It really touches our heart. It fuels our fire, you guys. But it also really helps lift the podcast up in the rankings, you guys, because really our goal with this podcast is not to talk about ourselves, but to just talk about good things and to share things with you guys and hopefully spread
to as many people.
Hopefully spread more good, you guys. And those reviews really bring us up in the rankings. So please share this podcast and leave us a kind review.
And we also can't do this show without our incredible sponsors that we had: Ulta, Sunbasket, LaCroix, Fleur, TrueCar. All of these incredible sponsors are what make this show possible. And they're all a part of this good life movement that we want to get out there. So we've got to give them a special thanks, you guys. And we go after, you know, these deals for you guys because obviously we want to give you something a little sweet. But we also want to get this show to continue to grow and to get it out there to as many listeners as we can. So none of that would be possible without these sponsors who make this show free for you guys to listen to and free for us to produce for you guys. So it really is a blessing and we're so grateful to them.
All right, you guys. Well, as I said, I'm going to pray for you guys. I'll keep it short and sweet, but hang with me here. You don't have to bow your head. If you're driving, please do not bow your head. Okay.
Are you going to pray for me? I love that, babe.
We're praying for everybody, baby. This is everybody.
I know. Will you pray for my biopsy as well since you're praying?
I will pray for your biopsy, baby, because it's going to go great.
Yeah.
All right, Lord, we just thank you so much for this audience, God. We thank you so much for this podcast. It's just an opportunity to share good with people. I just ask right now that whoever is experiencing fear, whether they realize it or not, that whatever fear that they're facing, that today they got something that would help them on their way to diminishing that fear. I just pray against the noise and anxiety that is trying to come on this generation specifically, even via social media. There's just rise in anxiety. More and more people feel anxiety, and that's really a form of fear. And I just pray against that right now, that whoever's listening to this knows that they don't have to stay locked up and crippled by their fear, but that they can break through that
And I pray that they would realize that you are on their side, that you said, fear not, for I am with you. And you also said that you would never leave us or forsake us. And that's so powerful, Lord. And I just pray that each person today, instead of being filled with fear, God, they would be filled with joy. They would be filled with knowing that they don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, God. And love, perfect love, drives out all fear. So, God, I just pray that even in their car, in their house, in the kitchen, in their bedroom, wherever they are, God, that they would feel that right now. Because that's the message here on The Good Life. We love you so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening to The Good Life. And lastly, for my wifey, I would just like to ask that the biopsy goes very well. Lord, that you just bless her on the way in, that she's not filled with fear about the process or anything, but you give this peace that surpasses all understanding, and she walks out of there with her head held high, no matter what, but you protect her in the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you,
Amen.
Everybody, for listening to The Good Life. We love you guys. Have an awesome week.
See you next week. Hey guys, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with the term MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody, including me. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for that same car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.